for that. So would you join me as we make our confession? I just want to ask you to say it today to convince yourself. Just say it to yourself. All right, would you join me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I say that for myself too, because even as I'm sharing the word, I believe God could speak to me and give me something. So Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6 says, but now he, speaking of Christ, speaking of the Son of God, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry inasmuch as he also is mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. This morning, I would just like to take a few moments to center on this theme. We, it's not just me, we who are in Christ have a great priest and great promises. We have a great priest and great promises. And this morning, I just wanted to share a few of each, a few reasons why Jesus is a great priest, a few of God's great promises that we can believe. In fact, this is the last message in a series. I'll share four messages on four of the covenants in the Bible. There are more than four, but I wanted to just share these, and because the ones I've shared before all point, see, God records the covenants in his word because he wants us to not only know them, he wants us to know how they point to Jesus and how we can live in the blessings of the new covenant. Because the covenants in the Bible point to the one we'll center on today, what is called the new covenant that Jesus inaugurated and instituted for us. So let me just give a quick definition of covenant, just as a reminder, or maybe if you weren't here the previous weeks. A covenant is really just a sacred agreement. It's a commitment. So when God made a covenant with Abraham, he was setting himself into an agreement with Abraham. God made a commitment to him, and God said, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to give you many descendants, and I'm going to give you this land and give the land to those descendants. And he took it upon himself to fulfill that word. And marriage is a covenant that we give ourselves to one another in love. There's the covenant of the Ten Commandments called the law. But ultimately, they all point to Jesus and this new covenant. So Hebrews chapter 10, if you would turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 10, just again briefly, three ways that Jesus is a great priest and three of his great promises that we have in his word. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning of verse 11. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 says, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Let me pause there just a second. The reason that the priests were offering sacrifices, speaking of animal sacrifices, is because sin has a high price tag. The price tag, the penalty for sin is death, and death is separation. Spiritual death is separation from God. And because we have been separated from God, this holy God, by sin, we also experience physical death. And it's not that, you know, someone was a big sinner, that's why they died. The entire human race has been infected with sin. That's why we die. But thank God, he loved us enough. And even before Jesus came, he provided a way to cover those sins so that man could still be in fellowship with God and forgiven. But those animal sacrifices, the scripture says, they could never take away sins. But they all pointed to the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. So it goes on. Let me read that again. Verse 11. Every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But see, Jesus didn't offer an animal sacrifice. He was the sacrifice, and his sacrifice was perfect, and his sacrifice completely takes away sin. That's why it goes on in verse 12 and says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. We have a great priest and great promises. First of all, Jesus is a great priest by his sacrifice. Jesus is a great priest by his sacrifice. Again, not offering an animal, but offering himself as the Lamb of God. And his sacrifice was perfect. That's why once he said, "It is finished," and he returned to heaven, he sat down. The job is complete. There were no chairs in the Holy of Holies where the priests would offer the sacrifices because their job was never complete, and they couldn't even continue because they didn't live forever. The Bible says he ever lives as our great high priest to make intercession for us. His life is interceding for us if we're in Christ, and that is the key. So he's a great priest, and we have great promises. Let me read that again, verse 12. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." So he's a great priest by his sacrifice. Number 2, verse 14. The Bible says this, "For by one offering, he has perfected forever." Perfected forever. Because his perfect sacrifice perfects us before God. He says, "By one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." Now, if we are in Christ through repentance and faith, and that's important, let me explain what that is. Because some people might think, well, you just got to believe. That's kind of true. But everyone believes something, so what are you believing? We've got to believe the truth. And repentance has kind of really two meanings. It means to turn or return, and it's a change of mind. So when someone is not a Christian, to repent means we turn from our way to God's way. We turn from unbelief and put our faith in Jesus Christ, that he is the perfect sacrifice, and what he did on the cross paid for my sins. He came back to life 3 days later, and if I call on him right now to save me, he will save me, forgive me, and perfect me forever before a holy God. So he's a perfect sacrifice, and he perfects us before God, but we're still in the process of being perfected. And that's why we are responsible to grow in Christ's likeness, and we do that by staying in close fellowship with the Lord. We have to stay in close fellowship with him through prayer, communion, through worship, through fellowship in his word, fellowship with one another. And as we maintain that fellowship with him, Jesus called it abiding, like we're abiding in the vine. His Holy Spirit produces the fruit of God in us, but we can't produce it on our own. It's not our fruit, it's his. So he perfects us forever, but we are still in the process right now of being perfected. And we all know that, don't we? We all know that. I thank God that the sacrifice of Jesus, I'm cleansed forever, and he's made me right with my Father in heaven, but I still got to live it out right here on earth. So we have a great priest and great promises. Would you say that with me? We have a great priest and great promises. And then the third reason Jesus, or third way, he's a great priest, in verse 19, if you would look there still, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, the Bible says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." That was a place in the tabernacle, like a tent, and the temple, where there were three sections, an outer court, an inner court, and then a place called the Holy of Holies that only one man entered one day a year, the great high priest, and he would go in and offer sacrifice for the entire nation. And there was a thick veil that separated that area, the Holy of Holies, from the holiest on the outside. And the Bible says this, having boldness to enter that area that would have been forbidden to us at one time, to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, that veil that separated the holiest from the holy place. When Jesus died on the cross, it was ripped in two from top to bottom, showing that the way was open. God had accepted his sacrifice, And now we can come to God. Jesus opened the way. He gave us access to God. Thank God. He's a great high priest by his sacrifice, by perfecting us, and by giving us access to God. He opened the way through his body and through his blood, and we can go to Almighty God, not just as God, a deity out there somewhere, but as our Father in heaven. And he has opened the way, and he invites us to come to him. And we can come to him anytime for any reason. We don't have to make an appointment. We'll never be put on hold. We'll say, come back this time tomorrow. It'll never be. There's not a closed door. Heaven is open for all who are in Christ or all who will turn to Christ. And we can come to him at any time. All I have to do is say, Father, Jesus opened the way. We have a great high priest. And I can come to him in worship and experience his manifest presence. We can come to him. I can even open his word and say, Lord, speak to me today. And the way is open. And he invites, in fact, would you just turn back? We'll look at another one in Hebrews 8. Would you turn to Hebrews chapter 4? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Oh my goodness. What a great, great promise. I thank God he is a great priest. He's a great priest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Aren't you glad that Jesus can relate? It doesn't matter what we're going through. You know, Kim shared a testimony earlier. Sometimes it's just encouraging to know of someone else who's been through a similar path and they survived and they made it through. It can give us hope. And Jesus, if no human, and that's probably not the case, but if no human can relate to what we're going through, Jesus can. He sympathizes with our weaknesses, even as the Son of God, because he came to experience what we experience so that we could experience what he experiences. So he says, but he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly, not arrogantly, but confidently, brothers and sisters. We can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Whatever our need is, God has the grace to meet us and can help us. He invites us to come. The way is open. Let's take him up on it. Let's come to him. So I want to ask you to just think about it. What is your present need? What is your present need? Doesn't matter what it is. Come to your Father. Come to the throne of grace because you have a great priest who has opened the way. And receive mercy and receive grace to help you in your time of need. So we have a great priest and great promises. Would you say that with me? We have a great priest and great promises. Now let me ask you to turn back to Hebrews chapter 8. And just again, quickly, three promises that God gives us here in the Word. And y'all know there are more than three, right? And there are more than three ways Jesus is a great priest. But just for time's sake, keeping it simple and keeping it practical, I trust, as in the new covenant, the Bible says this, Hebrews chapter 8, beginning in verse 7. For if the first covenant had been faultless, speaking of the covenant of the law, then no place would have been sought for a second. Verse 8, because finding fault with them, notice the law wasn't the issue. The Ten Commandments are great. The problem is we didn't measure up. And God gave the law to show us our sin, to bring us to the Savior. And so many times what we can do is we make our own, we try to establish our own righteousness, and we say, well, I'm pretty good, and we compare, and we condemn, and you know, and that's not what God wants. He just wants us to come clean and say, no, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, and come to me. So he says in verse 8 again, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And that covenant expands to everyone. If we come to God through faith, the Bible says we're included in that covenant he made to Abraham and he made to his people Israel. That we're grafted in, the Bible says. Verse 10, God says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." One of God's great promises to us is that his Spirit will indwell us. His Spirit will indwell us. See, Jesus did for us in the new covenant what we could not do for ourselves. I can't make myself right before a holy God. I couldn't keep the law even if I tried. I couldn't keep the commandments because Jesus dealt with the heart. He didn't say it's not enough to not murder someone. You can't have anger residing in your heart that would lead to the murder. He says you can't just not physically commit adultery. He says you can't go there in your heart and just entertain those thoughts. So he deals with the heart, the inside out. So when Jesus brings us into this new covenant, his Spirit indwells us. He does for us what we can't do for ourselves. He writes his laws on our heart and mind. He gives us grace, and then we want to do God's will. He helps us. The Bible says he works in us, and then we're to work out what God works in. That's how we have to live it out. But he gives us the desire to do God's will comes from him. The ability to do God's will comes from him. That's his grace. I thank God for his Holy Spirit. Do you realize you will never face a temptation alone if you know the Lord? When we are tempted, he is our helper. You know, you will never shed a tear as a Christian alone because the Comforter lives on the inside of you. When you are weak and feel like you can't put one spiritual foot in front of the other and you don't know where to turn, the Strengthener is on the inside of you. When you are discouraged and feel like no one understands, the Encourager is on the inside of you. He indwells us. So he's our, when we're wrong, he's our corrector. But he's our helper, our strengthener, our healer, our helper, our guide, our comforter. That's who he is, and that's a blessing that we have in the new covenant because we have a great priest and we have great promises. The Holy Spirit is not just out there. He's not even just with me. He's within me. And when you feel like you're going under, you know what keeps a submarine from being crushed by the depth, the pressure of the weight of that water? It's got the right amount of pressure on the inside. And when you feel like you're going under, if you got the Holy Spirit in you, you got the right one on the inside to keep you from being crushed. We sense the pressure and the feeling, but the Bible says even though we're crushed, we're not destroyed. Cast down, we're not defeated, we're not discouraged because we have a helper. And we have his Spirit living on the inside of us. Thank God for that. Verse 11, the Bible says this, again, Hebrews 8, verse 11, says, "None of them," this is part of the new covenant still, "none of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them." Isn't it a privilege to know God as our Father and to know Jesus as our great high priest? Verse 12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more." Thank God. But that right there would be enough for, I thank God for that one. Hey, we have a great priest and great promises. One promise that his Spirit will indwell me and one promise that he won't remember my sins. It's not a question of does God have the capacity to remember or not, to recall? I don't believe that's really the issue. I believe the truth that he's getting across is all the sins that have been forgiven through the perfect sacrifice of his Son on the cross, He's not going to bring back up against us and hang over our head and condemn us with them because they've been put away. We have a great priest and great promises. Think of how freeing that is. We don't have to fear the judgment in the sense that I'm going to have to pay for some past sins and I really did repent and I've been forgiven. The blood of Jesus has cleansed it all away. We don't have to live under the pressure and stress of condemnation and guilt right now. And you know who would want to keep you that way and keep me that way, right? That's why he's called the accuser of the brethren. To accuse, to condemn. But why? What does he get out of it? If as a Christian, I believe his accusations, I believe I accept that condemnation and live condemned, then what difference does that make to him, to the devil? How is it going to, but does it affect my relationship with the Lord? Am I going to be able to just joyfully worship the Lord living under condemnation? Am I going to want to come to him in prayer with confidence in his promises if I hear all these accusations just spinning through my mind? And you know he tries, right? Y'all have heard him too, huh? And I know our mind can go there. Some people want to go there and try to keep us, but the whole purpose of Satan doing it is to keep us distant from God, to separate us from God. I wonder how many people right now today at this very moment are not in fellowship at a church somewhere because they're living under condemnation and they've separated themselves from a God who they think doesn't want anything to do with them, or a church that has the same attitude. And he says, no, we have a great priest and we have great promises. His spirit indwells, and he's not going to bring those past sins that forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Jesus against us. He's not holding them over our head. He said, come freely. The door is open. The veil is torn. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for that. And, you know, I believe that can help our relationships. I believe it could help our health because we're living free, and strengthen us. One last promise. Would you turn to 2 Peter? It's Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. I'll close with this. 2 Peter chapter 1. We have a great priest and great promises. Would you say that with me? We have a great priest and great promises. He's a great priest by his sacrifice, by perfecting us, and by giving us access to God and the promises of his indwelling Holy Spirit, his presence inside us, and that he won't bring our past sins against us. And then just one more, 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. The Bible says this: elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, to sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Then this phrase, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. I'm saying that to you. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Would you turn to someone and tell them that? Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Amen. Grace and peace. Amen. Verse 3. I'm in the wrong book, y'all. Because there was still grace and peace. That's what I was focused on. Y'all were guessing back there, weren't you? I'm keeping them on their toes. No, I didn't. I messed up. All right, let me get in the right book. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. There we go. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's how grace and peace are multiplied to us, brothers and sisters, is getting to know God. Then verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things. Would you say all things?
All things.
all things that pertain to life and godliness, again, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Notice what they do, that through these, through the great and precious promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust or through the wrong desires. We have a promise that God is going to share His nature with us. That we, now, I don't want to come across incorrectly. We will never be God, but we will be like God, which was God's heart and purpose from the beginning when He created humanity in His image and in His likeness. That's a, you know, the Bible says in 1 John, I'm going to try to do this from memory, 1 John 3, I think it's verse 2 and 3, says, beloved, right now, we are the children of God, and it has not yet appeared what we shall be. But we know that when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him, the hope that when we see Him, we'll be like Him, purifies himself even as He is pure. See, there's something about knowing that when I see Him, because of what He did for me, I'm going to be like Him. I'm going to fully share in His nature because His Holy Spirit has been in me. And when I see Him, I'll be like Him. And there's something that can inspire us right now. There's something that can encourage us right now to stay close to the Lord and live a lifestyle that honors and glorifies Him. Exceedingly great and precious promises we get to share in His holy nature. We have a great priest and great promises, because until that moment when we see Him, we still got to be in the process of being perfected and being sanctified and growing in Christ's likeness, and His promises can encourage us in that process. We have a great priest, and these are just a few of the blessings of the new covenant. You know, God wants us close to Him. He wants us to be close to Him. God wants us to enjoy Him. Not just, I'm going to church, God of drudgery, what parent wants a relationship with their son or daughter like that? He's a father, and He wants us to be close to Him, and He wants us to enjoy fellowship with Him, and He wants us to enjoy His blessings. And we have a great priest and great promises. I'm not the Lone Ranger here. This is for all of us, and God wants us to share the good news with others so they can be brought into the new covenant and experience His blessings too. And He's given us opportunity because He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And He wants to use those who've experienced His grace to reach those who are still in need of His grace. We have a great priest and great promises. Let me ask you this morning, how close are you to your priest? Aren't you glad He's opened the way? He said, draw near to Me. The way is open, and we can be as close as we desire. Let me ask you this. Do you value His exceedingly great and precious promises to you? Will you value them enough to try to learn them and live by them? That's the key. But then how? We say, well, Brother Rocky, I'm gonna take, you know, a few minutes every morning. I'm going to get up a little early, and I'm going to go to God in prayer. I'm going to open the Scripture, and I'm going to learn God's promises to me. I want to live them out. You got to live that out just like me. We all do. But the way is open, and those promises, well, we need them. We need their strength. We need the life-giving encouragement and the hope and the power they'll give us. And it's up to us to come to Him to learn them. We have a great priest and great promises. Would you say that with me? We have a great priest and great promises. Let's stand together and go to the Lord in prayer.